This is Dr. Mobeen Sayed with one more episode of Long Story Short with Dr. Bean from the FLCCC platform. The discussion today is very interesting. This is a study from the University of Cambridge, in addition to University of Kent and then Liverpool as well. The study is actually making rounds and is quite popular nowadays. This is a study where they talk about N1 pseudomethylated uridine in the messenger RNA, the synthetic messenger RNA in COVID-19 vaccines. And in general, this platform has this N1 pseudomethylated uridine slips in the ribosome. Ribosome is a machinery that does the translation of protein. That is what we'll discuss today. But just a summary, it slips in the ribosome, which causes off-target proteins to be produced. So imagine that this messenger RNA's target is to produce spike protein. So in addition to the spike protein, there are other off-target proteins, unintended proteins. I call them garbage or trash proteins that are also produced. And not only these are produced in the cell, of course, these are presented to the immune system as well, to which then immune system responds and inflammation occurs. Now the question remains that if those off-target proteins have epitopes on them, that is immune surface on them, the surface that can be identified by the immune cells, which is similar to other tissues in our body causing cross-reaction or tissue epitope mimicry. So these are the discussions. The point of the researchers is that they feel that there is a flaw in this synthetic messenger RNA by using these methylated nucleotides or these bases. And they have found a way to remove that flaw. So they say that if you are going to use this platform for future therapeutics, where you're going to make, for example, let's say the thyroid hormone or some other self proteins of the body, or if you're going to give the messenger RNA therapy more frequently or in greater doses, in that case, there is a harm that can occur and they have a solution for that harm. So I'm going to actually start with some references so you can see that the words that I'm using are actually from the article from the Cambridge University and the study itself, and I'm not making up the words here. So first, this is flccc.net, and if you go here, there are various resources. And if you go to /Dr. Bean, then you can see my lectures over here. I believe that the lecture set here for long COVID and vaccine injury is the largest pool of lectures present on the internet focused on long COVID, vaccine injury, and better lifestyle. So I would request you to take advantage of this. Here is the article from the University of Cambridge. And if you read the title, researchers redesign future mRNA therapeutics to prevent potentially harmful immune responses. Here is the study itself. N1 methyl pseudouridylation of mRNA causes +1 ribosomal frame shifting. And I'm going to talk about that as well. Now, there are some supporting references here as well. Just a quick go through them. Here is the molecular biology of the cell in which the protein and the amino acids and how mRNA helps make proteins. Then the ribosome, the machinery that actually uses the mRNA and then reads the instructions on it and builds a protein. That little machine is called a ribosome. So here is some more about the ribosome. Then the genetic codes themselves. I'm going to use a part of this code today. I'm going to use a table from here. So I think this is the table that I'll use. Then what is pseudouridine, then modifications in an emergency, the role of N1 methyl pseudouridine in COVID-19 vaccines. It's a naturally occurring nucleotide, but is used in the RNA. This is the ribonucleotide translation, the process of making a protein in ribosome, and then on-programmed ribosomal frame shifting. So these are all the references, and let's start our discussion with my drawings. So I've taken some excerpts from this article first. They say that the latest developments, that is the messenger RNA platform, has further development that they're talking about here, this study. The latest development led by biochemist Professor Ann Willis and immunologist Dr. James Theventhiran from MRC Toxicology Unit at the University of Cambridge build upon previous advances in the mRNA space to ensure the prevention of any safety issues linked with future mRNA-based therapeutics. This report is published here. I'll show you that. I actually already showed you. The researchers identified that bases with a chemical modification called N1-methylpseudouridine, which are currently contained in mRNA therapies, are responsible for the slips along the mRNA sequence. And by the end of the talk today, I would have explained that what these slips are. Just keep in mind this. N1-methylpseudouridine is actually a naturally occurring uridine, but it is chemically modified uridine that is used in messenger RNA. Another important thing to keep in mind, this synthetic messenger RNA of the vaccine, wherever uridine nucleotide or base is used, that is replaced, wherever originally uridine is used, that is replaced with N1-methylpseudouridine. When this N1-methylpseudouridine occurs naturally in RNA, then it is present in certain spots and not everywhere. There can be uridine or pseudouridine and N1-methylpseudouridine present. But in the mRNA synthesis that is made in vitro, for example, for these vaccines or, for example, for the future therapeutics, then all the uridines are replaced by this pseudouridine. Now, this is Ann Willis, professor. She says, as billions of pounds follow into the next set of mRNA treatments, it is essential that these therapeutics are designed to be free from unintended side effects. And these unintended side effects, in the context of this study, will occur because of the unintended protein formation. So this is a study, I've already seen it with you, 6 December 2023. Now let's go over some of my drawings to try to wrap our head around this. So the first thing, the messenger RNA that is present for the COVID-19 vaccines, that is an in vitro, that is inside the lab, transcribed mRNA. So what happens is in natural cells, when the DNA gene expression occurs, what happens is within the nucleus, the DNA opens up and then we make a copy of the gene that is under process. That copy is the messenger RNA. So that will be called an in vivo formation of messenger RNA. However, if we make synthetic messenger RNA in the lab, then that will be called in vitro transcribed messenger RNA. Production of messenger RNA is called transcription. So IVT mRNA is used in vaccines. So here, when this N-methyl pseudouridine containing messenger RNA is inserted in a cell where the ribosomes, so if you see here, where the ribosomes will become engaged with this messenger RNA and they would read three letters of the genetic code at one time. And I'll explain a little later what these three letters mean. And these three together are called codons. So what does a codon mean? We'll see it later. This is a summary. So ribosome will look at three letters at a time and then it will create an amino acid, not create it, it will have other RNAs which are called tRNAs. It will ask them to bring in the pertinent amino acid or corresponding amino acid to that codon. Then it will put that amino acid next to the previous ones and these amino acids that are becoming a chain will become the protein. In this study, they're saying that as this synthetic RNA with methylated bases is used, it causes ribosome to malfunction or slip in 10% of the cases. And so the resultant protein that is formed is not exactly the original intended protein. So I have just made it over here with tiny bit of a modification, but you would see that the modification can actually be more aggressive. And I would do this lecture in two parts. This is the first part today. And the next part, I would actually discuss in detail how the modified or unintended proteins are exactly how are they formed. But anyways, 10% of the time, we will have incorrect proteins, unintended proteins. Now, the researchers verified that the immune system produced antibodies against both protein types. And they produced the T cells. So let's back up for a second. Imagine somebody got the vaccine, their cells started producing this spike protein, that is the intended protein, but the cells also started producing these garbage trash proteins as well, the unintended proteins, the off-target proteins. So the question in your mind may be, so what? Do these proteins, the bad ones, not bad because they are just other proteins, they can be bad. So are these proteins even getting in front of the immune system? Is the immune system even responding to them, reacting to them? So what the researchers did was they had 21 people who were Pfizer-BioNTech vaccinated. They had another 20 who were AstraZeneca vaccinated. Because AstraZeneca or Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine does not have messenger RNA, they use them kind of like control. They also had mice that they had vaccinated and then they were looking at the cells in them. So they found that the T cells, especially the T helper 1 cells, interferon gamma producing T cells, these became active when these unintended proteins were given to the plasma or the blood of the people who were vaccinated. That means the individuals with the vaccination had their immune systems exposed to these unintended proteins and had formed the reaction to them, and their immune systems knew about these. And when these proteins were given to those immune system cells, they reacted. So they looked at the T cells and they suspect that the antibodies will be produced as well. Now, there can be many forms of these mistranslated proteins. So I showed you one earlier, but really these mistranslated proteins could be varied. And the next lecture is all about what will be their possible structures and how unintended and incorrect these can be. Now, I wanted to read the abstract. I always do this so you actually hear firsthand what the study itself is saying before we can do some more commentary and discussion of it. So they said, in vitro transcribed mRNAs are modalities that can combat human disease, exemplified by their use as vaccines for severe acute respiratory virus. IVT mRNAs are transfected into the target cell. They're put in the target cell. Remember that summary that I just did? You would see that summary representing what is written here, where they are translated into recombinant proteins. So the proteins that are produced are called translation. And the protein itself is not called the translation. The ribosome making the protein, that process is called translation. And the biological activity or immunogenicity of the encoded protein exerts an intended therapeutic effect. So that is a normal behavior. Modified ribonucleotides are commonly incorporated into therapeutic IVT mRNAs to decrease their innate immunogenicity. So these methylated pseudouridine and others are added so that because they're naturally occurring, our body reacts to them less. So to reduce their immunogenicity and to stabilize the mRNA and increase the duration of their activity, they use methylated nucleotides. But their effect on the mRNA translation fidelity have not been fully explored. So we don't really know how well and precise and accurate the translation or protein production is. Here we demonstrate that incorporation of N1 methyl pseudouridine into mRNA results in +1 ribosomal frame shifting in vitro, and that cellular immunity in mice and humans to +1 frame shifted products from Pfizer-BioNTech translation occurs after vaccination. So here, this is the meat of the whole discussion. What they're saying is that as the proteins are formed, they see that the proteins are formed by ribosomal slippage by one base, causing a lot onwards from that slippage, unintended proteins to be formed. And they confirmed that they saw the proteins, plus they saw the immune system responding to them. The +1 ribosome frame shifting observed is probably a consequence of N1 methyl pseudouridine induced ribosome stalling during IVT mRNA translation. So here they're saying that why is the ribosome slipping? So it seems like these methylated nucleotides, those little tiny genetic materials, imagine building blocks, they cause the ribosome, the machinery that is reading and making proteins using that information, it becomes stalled, it becomes slow in processing them. And it becomes, if there is a run of these methylated uridines, one after the other, then the ribosome just slips there. And when it slips it, it misses some protein, some nucleotides, and then the whole thing becomes incorrect. However, we demonstrate that the synonymous targeting of such slippery sequence provides an effective strategy to reduce the production of frame-shifted products. So what they're saying is that not only do we see the problem, we are coming to the table with a solution. And that solution is basically to not have the runs of these methylated proteins, nucleotides, instead have blank spaces between them. So you can say that how do we get blank spaces in genetic material instructions? You add codons or nucleotides or the building blocks that translate to nothing. This is equal to space in our language. So when we use spaces between words, you could use spaces, or they say non-cognate amino acid sequences. You can use them and they would break up the runs of these methylated uridines and remove the ribosomal slippage. Overall, these data increase our understanding of how modified ribonucleotide affect the fidelity of mRNA translation. And although there are no adverse outcomes reported from mistranslation of mRNA-based SARS-CoV-2 vaccines in humans, which this will be debatable, but that's what they have written. So I'm reading verbatim what they're saying. These data highlight potential off-target effects for future mRNA-based therapeutics and demonstrate the requirement for sequence optimization. Demonstrate the requirement. So my assessment of this, so this is now my commentary, I may be wrong in this. My opinion is that based on this information, this platform needs to be fixed and retested and reevaluated before future therapeutics are provided. I would say that even current therapeutics need to be re-looked at to understand that what is the scale of this problem, and then based on that, decide what to do next. But if you come to me and say, you know what, I'm going to give you mRNAs for your, let's say we want to have your thyroid hormone to be this level. I have a normal thyroid hormone, but imagine if I needed to. And you said, we'll give you mRNA therapies. And if this problem is present in them, I would have to hesitate and say, no, I don't want it because it could create an autoimmune disorder in me. So now some details. So if you just wanted to know the summary and wanted to understand what it is, you can stop here. But I wanted to go in a little more in detail so we can understand what is going on in these abnormal proteins. So starting with this. The proteins in our body, many of cells' structures are made up of proteins. Many of the cells' functional agents are proteins, the enzymes. Muscles are proteins. I mean, proteins are everywhere in our body. Proteins are made from essential amino acids. There are hundreds of amino acids, but we only need a fewer number. So here is an example of, for example, one amino acid. Think of these as building blocks or letters of a language. So here, glycine is one letter. And here is alanine. That is another letter or another amino acid, another building block. To make proteins, what a ribosome does is that it picks up, let's say this one, and then this one, and it stitches them together. It creates a peptide bond between them. How does it do it? It removes water from them. So if you see here, this part is removed and these two are removed. And then this is connected here. So that is what you're seeing here. This one is this one. So this gets connected here and this part is removed and this part is removed. So that goes here. Now we have a peptide bond. And if you keep stitching more amino acids, that will become a long protein. That is a long protein thread or a polypeptide. Then that polypeptide is further folded from a thread to a 2D structure, from a 2D structure to a 3D structure. And that is how everything is a 3D structure in our bodies and in our universe. So for these amino acids, we need genetic material that indicate them. So imagine there is a recipe to make a protein. And in that recipe, which amino acid goes first and then which one is next and the which one after that comes, that all is represented by genetic material. Now, genetic material itself has a language as well. So here, what happens is that genetic material, imagine if this is a thread for messenger RNA, we have to put words on it. Every word has to have three letters. And these letters are going to represent various amino acids. So if I go back here, this is a nucleotide or a base. Three of these together become a codon. So if you see here, there is a ribose ring in this. Then there is a phosphate here. Then there is a base here. There can be adenine or guanine or cytosine or uracil in the messenger RNA. In the DNA, this can be thiamine. So if you see down here, a messenger RNA is structured. Imagine it's a tiny Word document. So there is a title in the Word document. So same way over here, there is a 5 end with the 5 gap and untranslated region. So imagine that is the heading, that is the word, the document title, etc. This itself means nothing, but this is an area which ribosome will connect with to start reading and making proteins. Imagine ribosome is a chef that would cook proteins based on what is written in here, right? So then there is a long thread of sequences that are the genetic material or the recipe. In here, three of the nucleotides will come together. Remember, this uracil with this one is a nucleotide, cytosine, guanine, adenine. So here, uracil, uracil, uracil. Three of them put together represent phenylalanine. Then another uracil, uracil, and cytosine actually also represent the same. So sometimes it is possible that multiple codons represent the same amino acid. Then here, cytosine, uracil, uracil make leucine. Then guanine, uracil, adenine make valine. And so these are codons. The ribosome, just one second then, at the end of the messenger RNA, then we have some more untranslated regions, meaning empty spaces. Imagine a document has an empty page and then it has an empty page at the end as well. And then there is a poly A tail, which tells the ribosome that is going to be reading this document that, hey, the document is done. Imagine if you are reading a document and the last page is empty and then after that is AAAA written everywhere. You would know that, all right, it is done, we are finished. So there is a poly A tail that has lots of adenines in a sequence. Now what happens is the process of translation. The process of translation means that a ribosome inside the cell picks up this messenger RNA, connects with it at the cap area, and then starts reading one codon at a time. One codon will be three nucleotide bases. One codon at a time, when it reads a codon, it would then need the corresponding amino acid, because it's a chef. If you say, hey, have garlic, if this is written garlic over here, then the chef needs garlic. So what it is going to do is it's going to ask the sous chefs to go get garlic. So in the case of cell, the sous chefs are tRNAs. They are tiny RNAs who have a set of nucleotides here as well that correspond to this one. So they can lock with this one and they carry the appropriate amino acid on their end. So when, for example, here uracil, uracil, uracil is present, then the ribosome is now waiting for phenylalanine. And this tRNA is going to bring phenylalanine and put that over here. So now don't think that actually the ribosome is instructing one at a time. Actually, the ribosome is surrounded by these tRNAs holding their corresponding amino acids. So whichever is needed, that would get attached here, offload its amino acid, which then ribosome will pick up that amino acid and connect that in the chain like little pearl. And it would just keep doing it. It would keep reading here, whatever amino acid is needed out of this bunch of tRNAs around it. It will pick up the correct one, connect that over here, take the amino acid from it, elongate the peptide chain, and the protein would continue to form. Beautiful mechanism. I love this. So if you see here, in the previous diagram, the ribosome was working here. Then once it has created a little amino acid, then it moves one codon over. That means it skips three. And then it would read that as well. And then it would put that next to it and it would skip three, like you see in this diagram. It would skip three. And that is how it would keep going. This is very important for us to understand that the ribosomes will go three by three. The reason for that is that, look at this for a second. Imagine that this nucleotide got missed. Ribosome would not say that, oh my God, I have one nucleotide I could not read. It would actually just pull the next one and think that that is this one. And now the whole thing, the next one will be this and the next one will be this. And now whole reading structure has fallen apart. And unintended amino acids would start coming together and incorrect proteins would start becoming formed. So if you see here now, this is a ribosome. It is reading the messenger RNA. And as it keeps reading them one codon at a time, that is three bases at a time or three nucleotides at a time, and takes the amino acid from these hovering tRNAs, it keeps connecting them in a chain. Now, this chain doesn't just fall out in the cell. this chain is actually produced within the endoplasmic reticulum structure. Imagine a compartment or a factory. And within that factory, there are another set of proteins called heat shock proteins. Heat shock proteins very quickly pick up this newly formed thread of polypeptide or protein, and they allow the thread to form a 3D shape in them. And that 3D shape then becomes whatever 3D protein it is meant to be. So this is translation. Now, plus one frame shifting, this is what they discovered with this methylated bases use. What they found was that it is possible, if you see here, this is one codon, this is another codon, another. I am going to focus a little more over here. So look at this. GUA is for valine. AUU is for isoleucine. And then GGU is for glycine, right? So three codons are here. Imagine that somehow ribosome was not able to process the U here, uridine, pseudomethyl uridine. Imagine this is that U. It could not process it and it slipped. Now, the ribosome needs three nucleotides to make sense of that as an amino acid. Originally, the instruction was AUU, but here the U got slipped. So the instruction became AUG. Now, AUG is a different amino acid. So if you see here, AUG is actually methionine. So now instead of isoleucine here, we would end up having methionine here. That is an unintended amino acid. Now think about it. This could mean that when this whole thing has slipped, the new set of amino acid might become a sequence that might actually correspond to another tissue of ours and a sequence there. And all of a sudden, our immune system, when they start attacking these proteins that are formed, the immune system might start attacking our tissue as well. Or there may be no correspondence at all, and there would just be some inflammation and finished. We do not know exactly what would happen, and I think everybody would have a different type of slippage and different type of protein, and they would have a different type of cross-reactivity or mimicry. So who gets what? I don't think it's going to be uniform. So I want to give you an example in English language. I was sitting today and making a sentence. So imagine if we have a sentence, cat and, remember in this sentence, every word has to be only three letters. So cat and dog, saw, big, hot, sun. Imagine that that is a sentence. Now every word is three letters and those three letters together make sense of something. Now imagine that this A got missed. When you are reading it, imagine you are a ribosome and you are reading this sentence three letters at a time and making sense of them. Cat, ant, dog, and you're making sense of them. All of a sudden, when you reach saw, the A is written in some weird way that you could not make sense of it. Slippage is going to occur. So result is that because you could not make sense of it, what you do is you look at the next letter and you need three of them. So you take the B from the big one. So what happens is now SWB becomes a word for you. Tell me, does it make sense what this is? It's something else. Then I, G and H will become A. The whole thing has now shifted. This becomes the next codon. And then O, T and S becomes the next codon. And then UN without the next thing becomes the next codon. All of a sudden, imagine if these are translatable to some amino acids. These are not the amino acid that would have been there because of saw, big, hot, sun. So this far, the protein formation was as we were intending. But after that, the protein formation became unintended. What sequence comes out of this? We do not know. Does it cross-react with some tissue cells? We do not know. And that is the problem that they have discovered. And they're saying this could cause harmful immune responses. And to fix that, we need to break up the sequences. We'll talk about that next time. Now, I want to read some of their comments. The reason I read those is not that I want to just like to read like an audiobook, but the reason I read it that you see firsthand what the manuscript is saying. So comments. We then compared interferon gamma, Ellis-Bott response, to predicted plus one frame shifting. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein produced in 21 individuals vaccinated with Pfizer and compared those responses to those 20 individuals with AstraZeneca, none of whom reported undue effect as a result of vaccination. What they're saying is the mRNA vaccine recipient, they looked at in these recipient to say, did they have interferon gamma? Interferon gamma will be produced when T helper 1 cells are active and when cytotoxic T cell or CD8 cells are active and when NK cells are active. But their activity against unintended proteins mean that these cells became knowledgeable about this. They were exposed to this when the person was vaccinated. And now when they are re-exposed to those trash or garbage proteins, they're reactive again because they're memory cells. So we detected a significantly higher interferon gamma response to plus one frame shifted antigen in Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine group compared to Oxford AstraZeneca. And it is not that this is the Cambridge and Oxford study. Really, they're talking about messenger RNA and they're talking about how to fix it. They're not saying that the adenovirus-based vaccine is better, at least not in this study. And we all already know that adenovirus-based COVID vaccine has its own issues like clotting. Here we are talking about messenger RNA. There was no association between T cell response to plus one frame shifted antigen and age, sex, or HLA subtype. So they said it's not because of the age or because of sex or because of the blood types of the person or HLA subtypes. It was uniform. Both Oxford and AstraZeneca and BioNTech vaccination produced ELISpot response in in-frame SARS-CoV-2 spike, meaning these vaccines were able to produce the intended spike protein, and there was a response to that spike protein by the blood of the vaccinated individuals. But the mRNA recipients also reacted to incorrect proteins. When they gave those incorrect proteins to adenovirus-based vaccines, they didn't react. Why? Because these cells were not memory cells. They were not exposed to them before. But the mRNA vaccine recipients reacted. Their cells reacted. So that is one. Then ribosomal stalling, slowing down of the ribosome because it is working on these methylated uridines. Together, these data show that slow translation of one methyl pseudouridine mRNA is probably due to ribosome stalling, which is caused by altered aminoacyl tRNA binding. So remember I talked about those little tRNAs that would bring in the amino acid and bind with the ribosome? So probably this methylated nucleotide somehow causes an effect that this binding doesn't occur correctly, and which can be rescued by increasing the incorporation of near or non-cognate amino acid into elongation polypeptides. So what they're saying is put the spaces in the Word document, and that would make it more readable or less slippable by the ribosomes. So then the question is, why is it important to fix this issue? So let me bring it down below my picture for a second. Why is it important to fix this issue? So here, although there is no evidence that frame-shifted products in human generated from BioNTech vaccination are associated with adverse outcomes, but you know, I'll take this sentence with a grain of salt. Here is the grain of salt for me. That is that they only had 21 people. So they really didn't have a way of knowing if these products have caused an issue or not. And the study design is not good enough to be able to identify the problems. 21 people on the mRNA side, 20 on the adenovirus side, that's not sufficient. And then mice. The important outcome, in my opinion, is finding the flaw and then saying, here is how to fix it. Or before you continue to make these and future therapeutics, fix it. That is the crux of it. This, I don't think that this study and with its data, they are in a position to say these products do not cause harm. Maybe they do not cause harm. Maybe they do come. There are vaccine injured. Even if they say very rare vaccine injured, fine. But there is some problem. Maybe these bad proteins would cause some molecular mimicry, cause the immune system to cross-react with some tissue. Maybe not. But with 21 people, you can't say that, no, this is all good. They do say that because we know that there are lots of doses given and there are no reactions, but that is also not the very accurate statement. So I would take this part of their statements with a grain of salt, but I still want to read what they have written. So we are looking at the manuscript itself. So although there is no evidence that frame-shifted products in human generated from BioNTech vaccination are associated with adverse outcomes, for future use of mRNA technology, it is important that mRNA sequence design is modified to reduce ribosome frame shifting events, as this may limit its future use for applications that require higher doses or more frequent dosing, such as in vivo production of hormones. So if today somebody starts making an mRNA to say, I'm going to go make it for hormone production, that would certainly increase the likelihood of the risk for the recipient, risk of autoimmune diseases. It is important to continue investigating therapeutic mRNA mistranslation and immunogenicity. Look at the words mistranslation, which 1+1 frame shifted, and immunogenicity, causing immunogenicity or immune reactions, as the evolution of antibody and cytolytic T-cell response against +1 frame shifted spike variants and peptides has not been systematically evaluated in human, and ELISpot responses obtained from pooled peptide may also underestimate T-cell responses. So they're saying that we have never done this study before, this kind of a study before. Plus, they said whatever we are using, the ELISpot test, that may not actually give us the right number of reactive cells. They're saying we need to study this more. The main in-frame mRNA-encoded product is unlikely to elicit an adaptive immune response, but presentation of +1 frame-shifted products could activate T-cells that target host cells. So they're saying it is possible, for example, in the future, you're trying to make the thyroid hormone in me. Let's just use me as an example, nobody else. Let's say in me you're making thyroid hormone and this frame-shifting occurs. So some of the thyroid hormone is made successfully. So they're saying that the main intended protein may not produce an immune response. If you make thyroid hormone in me, then fine. My immune system is not going to react to it. But the frame-shifted products that will be formed, the garbage, the trash proteins that will be produced, our immune system would react to that. And if these look like self-proteins, then we have a bigger problem. I mean, spike protein is a foreign protein, but the garbage spike protein, it should not even be called a spike protein because it would have unintended amino acid that would not look like anything on the spike protein. That can cause cross reactions as well, but maybe lesser for our tissues compared to when we try to produce a self protein that already is intended to look like us. And if that becomes malformed, then our immune system is going to create a bigger problem. That means this, in the light of this study, the most important conclusion could be, and their own conclusion, that therapeutics can cause immune system created harm, and we should help prevent that by fixing this issue. We reasoned that if we were able to identify +1 ribosome frame shift sites or sequences, it would be possible to alter the mRNA sequence to reduce the such effects. So they then actually went ahead and they changed those sequences and that reduced this frame shifting and produced the intended protein only. So when the ribosome is confronted with a string of these modified bases called N1-methylpseudouridine in the mRNA, it slips around 10% of the time, causing the mRNA to be misread and unintended proteins to be produced, enough to trigger an immune response. Removing these runs of N1-methylpseudouridine from tRNA prevents off-target protein production. So I want to show you a diagram that I actually am going to discuss next time, but it may be interesting in the light of everything that we've discussed to look at that diagram. So what you're seeing here are the, every three of them are the codons. And this star U and star is the methylated uridine. You can see how many U and stars are there. The yellow areas are where the ribosomes are slipping. See this UUU or here UUUU. This run of uridines that are methylated, they are the one that cause ribosome to slip. And when the ribosome becomes slipped, then, as I've shown you before, the codon reading becomes wrong, the frame is shifted, and now we have a bad protein. Bad in terms of we didn't intend it, it is unintended. Now the sequence that appears on it, after folding, the epitopes that are formed, the immunogenic areas, can they cause molecular mimicry? Maybe, yes. They would for sure cause inflammation because they are some foreign thing in our body. But they would, if they cross-react with our tissue epitopes, then we have a bigger problem. So this is the discussion. I will do one more lecture in this series. I'll try to do it tomorrow. And that will be, how are these codons translated into a protein, and what will happen when one base is read incorrectly, the malformed protein, and then how the immune system actually responds to this, what would happen to the cytotoxic cells, and what would happen to the plasma cells. That all we would discuss next time. Thank you very much for being with me today.